America is aging, and many older adults are trying to figure out the best way to age in place in their homes. Could artificial intelligence be part of the solution? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about aging at home with AI are Meals on Wheels for Southwest Ohio and Northern Kentucky Director of Development, Laura Allen. Thanks for being here, Laura.
Thank you.
Cincinnati AI Catalyst, AI for Older Adults team leader, Eric Freyer. Welcome, Eric.
Hello.
Great to have you here. And the voice of your customer president, Crystal Kendrick. Thank you for being here, Crystal.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start with you, Laura. How is our local population of older adults growing? What are we seeing around here?
We are seeing a significant increase in older adults in across the U.S., but in the greater Cincinnati area region as well. In the U.S., we're sitting around like 22% of the population is age 60 and up, but by 2030, that will reach 25% who's age 65 and up, or 60 and up. But all baby boomers will have reached retirement age by 2030. So I think that's like a big marker that a lot of people have in their mind. And that's only 5 years down the road, or 4 years down the road now. So it's definitely a growing population.
Yeah. Growing a lot. So, Eric, most older adults I know want to stay at home and age in place. What are the big challenges to making that work?
Well, Lucy, one of the questions is how can you be as independent as long as possible? And AI tries to help with older adults using health, wealth, and self. And so the idea is to make sure that people have the right information, responsibly use AI, and are able to still take advantage of the technology.
Mm-hmm. And when you say the right information, what are the key elements there, that right information?
Right. So the Cincinnati AI Catalyst is a group formed in Cincinnati to help adopt AI in our region. And there's groups that deal with healthcare and groups that deal with government and education and the business community. With the older adult, what we're trying to do is dispel some of the myths that people will have about AI and also answer some questions. So we do a series of town halls. People have the opportunity to talk about what they think AI means in terms of lots of different concerns.
Okay. Well, and Eric, when we think of aging in place, I think the first thing that could come to mind is getting help from our adult children or maybe a caregiver. How can we start to think about technology also providing some of that care?
Well, and that's a really good point, Lucy. I'm first-tier tech support for my 94-year-old mother-in-law. And the way I started—
God bless you.
And there are people like me on our group, there are about 12 volunteers that have been working with technology and AI for a little bit. Crystal is one of our volunteers, and they're spread throughout the region. And our idea here is to help it be a complement. So you can get information from your family and friends. You can find things out in different places. And our group is just trying to help that.
So, Crystal, what are the barriers when it comes to learning new technology as an older adult, and how have you helped kind of bridge that gap?
Yes. So I have had the pleasure of working with a number of different organizations to teach older adults the basics and intro to artificial intelligence or generative AI. I've worked with OLLI. I've worked with Lincoln Heights Missionary Baptist Church. I've worked with Forest Park Senior Center, just a number of different groups that have brought individuals together who would like to learn the technology. We're very fortunate in that the older adults today who are coming to these trainings had experience in using computers in their workplace. You know, when my grandmother retired, they didn't use computers in the workplace, so it was just completely foreign to her. But today, we have a group of older adults who have some technical literacy, and that really helps. I found that they had retired or come out of the workplace before generative AI was introduced as a feature for individuals. And so some were a bit afraid of it. Some didn't really understand what it was, and others could not differentiate between the different brands or titles of the systems that were available. And so our introductory trainings really educated individuals on what generative AI is, how it's different than a Google search or other artificial intelligence that we have experienced in our day-to-day life. We also talked about how to safely use the system. And then last but not least, we talked about how to enable it to improve your life. And so I thought I was just going to teach these intro classes and individuals were going to come one time. And then they started calling back saying, well, can you do phase two? Can you do phase three? So I have older adults who are in different phases. They have adopted it in some way, shape, or form, but quite cautiously and understandably.
Sure. Well, okay. So I'm a caregiver. I'm convinced that AI could be helpful to an older relative who's maybe living home alone. Mm-hmm. What conversations do I need to have with them? How do I start that conversation? Sure.
Okay. So this is Crystal. And I would say we first need to understand what generative AI is. There are all kinds of AI concepts, but generative is where you start it, where it's personalized, where you generate the start and then a response comes out. I would say if you are a caregiver and you are looking to assist an older adult, you can use it for research to find different resources and things that are available and compare those resources and really understand which resources provide or, you know, which organizations provide the resources you need. I think you can also use it to help analyze opportunities for increasing wealth. So there are just so many different rules and tax rules and policies and who owns what and when and how. And so using those tools to understand how you should approach your financial situation could be helpful. Now, I would also say that you should talk to a financial planner as well. This is not a replacement, but it can give you some ideas of what you should be talking about and how far you need to go with a financial planner. Mm-hmm. And the same thing for your health or for your home or what programs are available to help you age in place and be independent. So, I mean, it's just a wide range of ways you can use it. What I typically encourage people to do is to use a system with which they are familiar and then, you know, take some baby steps and understand. And usually when I talk to my older adults, I encourage them to have someone who is knowledgeable about the system in their family or in their circle to assist them in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because it can be a phenomenal experience. And when I taught some people how to talk to the system and get answers, oh my goodness, they were over the moon.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's just a lot of different ways it can help. It can help with meal planning. It can help with just a number of things.
Yeah.
But guiding your approach is what's important.
Mm-hmm. Eric, did you want to weigh in?
I think that's a really good point, Crystal. And one of the things that I want to share is that the adults we've been working with, the older adults, they all have an email address and a smartphone, predominantly, most of them do. So they have access to AI. And AI is already kind of taking place of, on a Google search, the AI mode is there. So I know my mother-in-law was asking, what is this? And I said, well, that's just another way to do a more enhanced search. Mm-hmm. Giving people that information, sharing that with them, it can come from multiple sources. And that's one of the things our Catalyst does. And Laura was mentioning our region. There's 2.3 million people in our 8-county area that make up that AI Catalyst. Of those, 480,000 are 60 plus. Hmm. So being able to provide and make sure that we're reaching them as well is one of our goals.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about aging with AI for the full hour today. Are you interested in using AI to help around your house or maybe help an older loved one? Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We have a caller on the line. Hi, Jesse. Thanks so much for your call. You might need to turn down your radio in the background. What's your question or comment? Okay, thank you. What's your question or comment?
I had two comments. One is that I just watched The Burrows on Netflix, and you know when the guy like he grabs the AI, you know, the chatbot Alexa thing, and like throws it out. I feel like that's how my loved ones would have reacted to a system like that. But so that was just a goof. But Ohio already has something that I feel is very well established and could be really good for an aging population, and that's remote supports. So we use that in like Medicaid waiver services. And Ohio is far ahead of many states in this regard.
Interesting. Well, thank you, Jesse. Yeah. I appreciate
so, So it's basically, you know, you have a person who is looking at monitoring, you know, multiple homes, helping people live independently, but then they have access to like turn off the stove or adjust the thermostat or give med reminders and things like that.
And you're involved in this work yourself, Jesse?
Yeah, I work in disability services and social work and stuff. So yeah. So but and there are plenty of providers in Ohio that do this and they do it well, and it's a very good, you know, awesome kind of thing, but it's only for like kind of Medicaid waiver, people with like developmental disabilities and stuff at this point, as far as I know. So I'd love to see the aging and disabled population kind of be able to have access to that instead of just giving them an Alexa that they're going to be like, how does that thing work? I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jesse. I appreciate that. Thanks so much for that call. Are any of you familiar with that? Any kind of outreach that's available for folks?
He makes a really good point because I know with my mother-in-law, she has a Alexa, and the first generation was pretty basic, right? Mm-hmm. You would ask a question, please play Frank Sinatra radio on Sirius XM was her question. What I am concerned about is it's going to get better and better. There's going to be a new release for Siri. There's going to be Alexa Plus. There's going to be some commercialization of this. Making sure that people know what their options are, where they can get information, that's one of the things our group is doing. And we have a website. It's very basic. It's non-commercial. It's cincyseniors.org. People can look up information about the Council on Aging or Meals on Wheels or Pro Seniors. Jesse, that would be great. If you can send me links to some of those remote support things, we'll make sure to post it there and share the knowledge.
Yeah. He told our producer that there's a Medicaid employee who's monitoring things remotely. And if, for example, somebody forgets to turn off their stove, it can be turned off remotely. So it sounds like a very important service. Laura, you're working with clients to help them get more comfortable with some technology. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. So we like to say our tagline at Meals on Wheels of Southwest Ohio and Northern Kentucky is much more than a meal, because I would say meals is about one third of what we do operationally. But we also provide social connection programs, and one of those is a Digital Connect. And so this is where we are teaching digital literacy, very similar to Crystal. Last year, we distributed around 350 tablets with multiple training sessions to older adults living in low-income senior housing communities. So we're really focusing on the access part of it, because we know that folks who are lower income or who maybe live in rural areas have the lower access to just basic digital technology. But then with that, we are teaching how to use the tablet. We're using telehealth models. The biggest, most requested is about scams and fraud. Seniors really want to know, how can I avoid being scammed nowadays? Talk about password management, two-factor authentication. But then we also talk about AI tools, like searching, using generative AI on the tablet, on the internet, those sorts of things.
Yeah. What are some of the stories you've heard from clients who have those tablets? What are they doing with them? What kind of difference have they made in their lives?
Oh, it's made a huge difference. I mean, we have clients who have said, you know, I have a really hard time hearing my grandchild on the phone, but now that I can FaceTime them, it is a world of a difference. Having access to, you know, if you cannot get a ride to the doctor, being able to do that telehealth appointment is a huge win for us and for them, because they're able to get the healthcare that they need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead, Eric.
Well, one of the things that I was asked about it was, is there a difference when I ask my phone, when I speak to it, a question or a prompt, and when I type it in? Very simple, basic things like that. Mm-hmm. But for an older adult, they might not be sure. The answer is essentially the same, the response. But just making sure that people have that access. And like Laura said, sometimes it's difficult to work the phone with older thumbs like mine, and it's easier to use the voice to text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Lucy, I'd just like to say, God bless Meals on Wheels. And I say that because, you know, older adults are typically alone. And Meals on Wheels has come into these homes where there's no other adults, and they are typically basically the only communication that some older adults have on a daily, weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And so AI is trying to address some of these communication and loneliness needs, but Meals on Wheels has been doing it for a long time, and we're very fortunate to have them in our community and such a strong network for our older adults, for sure.
Yeah, that human contact is so important. Well, we will be back after a short break to continue this conversation. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about aging at home with AI. My guests are Cincinnati AI Catalyst, AI for Older Adults team leader, Eric Frayer, the voice of your customer, President Crystal Kendrick, and Meals on Wheels for Southwest Ohio and Northern Kentucky Director of Development, Laura Allen. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. I want to get into some of these specific technologies a little bit. Eric, we've all seen these robotic pets, but what function do they serve? I mean, tell us about the companionship they can provide and how they maybe could give an older adult a sense of motivation and purpose.
Right. So, Lucy, it's a really important concept right now because there's lots of things in the media about loneliness, about companionship. What our message is that it can be a nice assistant, but it's not a replacement for the human touch. And locally, we have people that understand the AI. What we've put together on our cincyseniors.org site is a way to answer and ask questions and consolidate information. But what's really important is to talk with someone. Seniorplanet.org/AI provides a bunch of resources from AARP. But it's all on demand. You have to go there, look for it, and then watch their videos. What we're trying to do is make sure that people can be in the community, engaging them, answering questions. We generally do a large group, which is like a town hall, give people a chance to say and ask questions, and then smaller groups where people can use technologies on their phones or figure it out. But the most important thing is that personal interaction.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, even a robotic pet, I guess, can make people feel like they've got a little critter.
Absolutely. And there are different, like also baby dolls or something that this is for, especially for older adults who maybe have some type of cognitive impairment. These can act as really important companions, especially because if they're not, you know, able to take care of a pet themselves, then this is a way to have that companionship. Although there is limited research, I will say there's a lot of like qualitative and anecdotal research on the positive effects of it. But I think what we've seen, we actually offer we have a robotic dog and cat. Yes, at Meals on Wheels that we can give to our clients. We have one in the lobby and it meows at you every day when you walk in. A lot of our clients do really enjoy them and use them.
And if you forget to feed it, it's not a big deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Take it outside.
That's right. Yeah. Well, what about, I've heard there's also technology to kind of remind adults to eat. Are you familiar with that, Eric? How does that work?
So that's a really good example of how you can use AI to help with your health. Reminding you to take medications or setting up different notifications that you would get. Again, it has to be done responsibly. So you don't want to put in what medication you're taking, but if you wanted to say, I need some help with this, there are ways to do that. I think what Crystal's doing with providing that instruction is really important. And then letting people know places like Ollie, places like the Cincinnati AI Catalyst or Cincinnati AI for Humans, or even ETA, which is hosting Cincy AI Week coming up in 2 weeks. It's all around us. Trying to make sure you can learn it effectively is our goal.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you your thoughts on this, Crystal. What if you're an adult child, you worry about your parents' safety, can installing cameras in their home be a good option? And what are some of the privacy concerns with that?
So a straight out answer would say, you know, cameras and especially sensors, notifications, the lifeline things that people have, you know, your family members or your loved ones' abilities or vulnerabilities. And so you have to accommodate for that. I would also say you also have to have conversations with your family members about privacy versus, you know, care and concern. As a person, I'm not a, you know, a medical provider or anything like that, but as a person who has older adults in our family and who has been responsible for older adults, various technologies that can help ensure their safety has been very helpful to me because, you know, they help you detect falls. They help you detect lack of motion. They help you detect light and movement. And so that worked for my family. But I would say that talking to a, you know, security expert can help you figure out the best places and best ways to track individuals. Mm-hmm. I even have friends who have given their loved ones either smart watches, or now they have the smart ring, just to ensure that their health is where it needs to be. And so you have to think about all of those things and still creating independence and still creating a sense of security for you and for them. But that is worth a conversation for sure.
Yeah. And so the other thing I would add is you've got to be careful about also unintended consequences. And one of the best examples of that was what the Ring camera people did this year at the Super Bowl. They had an ad that showed how they could find a lost pet in somebody's neighborhood by turning on all the cameras and looking around. They got to the point where they were paying for a Super Bowl ad and then realized that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And they had to really roll that back. And so I think to your point, I know in some of the older facilities, there would be sonar type or a radar type device to see if your gait is off. Cameras can be great, but it has to be responsible.
We recommend also letting the older adult or the loved one take the lead, following their lead, because when you have conversations around remote monitoring, falls detection, okay, cameras are one thing, you know, and that's, I think, what a lot of people think of is like, oh, I'm going to be constantly recorded in my house. But there are softwares and devices that are sensors instead that are maybe feel less of an invasion of privacy. And so knowing, like, using generative AI to know what's out there and available to you within your price range can help set up that conversation with the person, with your loved one, saying, it's not going to be me being able to check on you any time of the day, a live feed. It's more just, so I'm alerted if you fall.
Yeah.
And so I think having those conversations up front is really important.
Well, and Crystal mentioned the smartwatches and things like that, but Laura, you still have to charge those. You have to keep those functioning. And I imagine that can be a barrier for some older adults.
Yes.
I know we talked about that with my late mother, and she's like, I wouldn't charge that thing. Like, thank you for knowing yourself. That would not work for you then. I mean, is that, are some of those things you have to consider too?
Yeah, there's a whole new field of research called digital caregiving, because somebody has to not, you know, I'm providing care for my mom. That might mean that I am providing hands-on physical care. It might mean that I'm making appointments. I'm getting benefits and insurance in line. But then also I'm making sure that everything is charged and ready to go. I'm taping the instructions onto the remote and saying, this is how, you know, this is how you get to this channel, or, you know, I'm teaching them how to use the tablet. So caregivers are also taking on a new load of teaching and being responsible for teaching older adults how to use a technology and how to take care of it.
Yeah. And there are, I remember there are some people that we've talked to who said, well, I'm never going to do that. I'm just not interested. And that's fine. I remember when my wife said, I'm not going to buy anything on the internet. I was all excited. Now I'm not sure I could stop her. But so it's moving very fast, and people just need to be aware.
Yeah. I'm going to vote for your wife's ability to buy stuff on the internet. I think that's great. We talked a little bit about smart speakers like Alexa or Siri. I'm going to say it quietly so she doesn't hear us. How can those be helpful, especially for older adults, maybe with vision problems? I don't know which of you wants to weigh in on that.
I'll mention that one of my concerns, and I think that the technology, and this is to Laura's point, it's moving very fast. Meta AI is an app that you can put on your phone. It can tell it certain information. In all of the Facebook Meta products, they're introducing AI. So whether it's Threads or WhatsApp or Instagram or Facebook, they're tying those things together. My concern is that people need to use it in a way that keeps them independent, that is, first of all, there's no cost. So for those seniors that have an email address and a smartphone, they can use any of the big three, Anthropic, Claude, or OpenAI. Google, Claude, or OpenAI, for free. When you give your email address, it's able to then capture some information. They have to be very careful about that. And I think most of them are because it's such a big issue, the safety and privacy. But then it can remember what you've asked it. It can has inference. It has the ability to do some reasoning and some memory. Again, go slow, be smart, ask your friends, get good advice.
We got an email from a listener. The email says, AI comes with a lot of environmental downsides in addition to the privacy issues that you mentioned will be discussed. Communities are increasingly concerned about the data centers needed to power AI, everything from noise to habitat destruction to outsized demands for water. Are these trade-offs worth it? There's no free ride here. Also, it's important to think about who, AI company owners, will be enriched by your use of AI. Do you agree with their policies and value systems? I think those are really valid points. Do you want to speak to that, Laura? You want to start?
Sure. I mean, I will say this is something that I'm grappling with every single day that I am using AI, that every time I put in a Google search now and it uses AI to give me results, I am thinking about the environmental impact that it has and the data centers that are the demand for data centers now, because our infrastructure currently cannot handle the amount of demands that we're putting on these systems. And so for me personally, I'm not sure yet. I think that there are a lot of benefits. I think that it's really important that the research is there and it's neutral, it's unbiased, and is showing the benefit of it. And then we will be able to better weigh the trade-off.
It is really difficult. And Laura sounds like my daughter, who's 33, and she says, Dad, every time you ask about the 76, 75 Reds, and you're wanting to have this conversation with AI, it's taking water and energy and all the rest. I think that on the energy and the data centers, obviously Trenton and Monroe area had a big issue earlier in the year. And things have gone back and forth on water consumption. There's people who are showing how much water is used for golf courses or producing almonds. And it is tough. I think the key is to just be able to find sources and information and challenge things. And I wouldn't take anything as decided or, you know, we all know this right now. There are so many benefits that it has great opportunities, so many possible detriments. The one thing I would mention too is the AI documentary movie, I'm now an AI Apocalypse, is on Hulu. It's free and it's good. If you have Hulu, it's good to watch. And the Cincy AI group watched that earlier in the year. It's they're tough questions.
Crystal, I want to, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I was going to say, I am hopeful that our scientists and really smart people can help us create more sustainable use of AI. I'm afraid that we're too far gone in the AI world to take it back as a society.
Put the genie back in the bottle.
That's going to be very hard. However, we have very smart people who know how to improve things. I think just about with every major cultural shift, there was a challenge. But we have identified opportunities to lessen the impact on society as a whole. And so my hope is that the right people are in the right rooms with the right intentions of figuring out how we can use artificial intelligence, generative AI in particular, more sustainably.
Yeah. Crystal, I want to circle back to this issue we brought up before, kind of how smart speakers like Alexa or Siri can be helpful. We had a he's since passed away, but a friend of the show who would call regularly, and he would talk with our producer, and he had lost his vision, and she could hear him asking questions to his smart speaker and getting the information he needed because he couldn't read it on a document. I mean, I know there are those privacy concerns, but there can be some benefits there, right? Yeah. Do you find that with folks you talk to?
Absolutely. You know, talking to a device has become a norm, whether we do it because we're driving or we do it because of, you know, a visual impairment or ease or, you know, just whatever reason, talking to a device has become ideal. And sharing information in devices, personal information, by no means am I talking about personal identifiable information like social security numbers and things of that such, but you know, top searches now are medical conditions and financial questions and things of that nature. So those tools are vital. And I don't see a challenge in talking versus typing. I don't think there's any more, anything is more secure or less secure with the technology itself. I'm grateful that it's there. And I'm hopeful that it will continue to progress because we've already talked about the growing older adult population and the potentially the loss of vision or the loss of a lot of mobility or the ability to type and text. And so I think it's helpful. And I'm hopeful that people will use it. I'm more concerned about sharing personal identifiable information and scams than I am about the technology being able to regurgitate back meaningful, positive information.
Laura, we've been talking a lot about technology, but another important component of independent living is the food that Meals on Wheels delivers and provides. Who qualifies for that?
Oh, that's a great question. So if our income or our eligibility is really determined by the Council on Aging of Southwest Ohio, if you live in Ohio, or the Northern Kentucky Area Development District, if you live in Kentucky. And that's based on, you know, the federal regulations say it's those of the greatest social and economic need, but really each agency determines that eligibility based partly on income, but also on physical ability is the main criteria, as far as my understanding.
Gotcha. Have you seen the need for that part of what you all do really increase in the region?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We... there's a nationwide effort to end the wait list because across the U.S., there are many wait lists at Meals on Wheels across the U.S. The reason for that, part of the reason for that is that of that 65 plus age group that's growing, the 85 plus age group is growing the fastest. And those are folks who typically have some sort of care need, maybe have a mobility impairment that prevents them from being able to stand in the kitchen and cook their own food. And so that it's really important that we have services like Meals on Wheels, but really home and community-based services to support those people aging in place. But that's why we see the increased demand is because we have the increase in older adults as well.
Well, we will be back to wrap up this discussion on aging at home with AI after a short break. If you've got questions or comments, now's a good time to call 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about aging at home with AI. My guests are the voice of your customer, President Crystal Kendrick, Meals on Wheels for Southwest Ohio and Northern Kentucky, Director of Development, Laura Allen, and Cincinnati AI Catalyst, AI for Older Adults team leader, Eric Frayer. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. I want to get into some of the risks of using AI, but Crystal, first, if you have an older adult in your life who wants to get started with this, what are some tips?
Well, the first thing I would encourage you to do if you're trying to teach an older adult how to use generative AI is the discussion between a prompt and a command. A command is how we search Google, but a prompt is long language. It's a conversation. And so that's a big barrier that I have when I attempt to teach older adults how to gather information is the prompt versus the command. So that's number one. The other thing I would suggest you do is take a couple of pieces of content of which an older adult is already familiar. You can use a Bible or a book they love or anything like that and ask the tool to summarize it. Then they can see what they already know and how it appears. The same way with analyzing content. What might be, you know, something that they know or understand or something from their workplace, that's really easy because it's they're able to visualize something that they completely understand. And then the last thing I always encourage people to do, this is so helpful to me and everyone else. If you're ever trying to purchase items and you don't know if you get brand A or brand B, I always ask these tools to find me the best of whatever I'm looking for and do some comparisons across the online systems and, you know, help them narrow a search down to something that's better. I have found that these types of searches give you a lot of detail, and also it really helps the older adult understand something that they already know. Mm-hmm. So two big things I'll say is, one, I help them understand the difference between a prompt and a command. And number two, use introductory scenarios with subject matters with which they are already familiar. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting for the older adult, the adult that's 70, 80, 90, they're not worried about learning new skills for employment. They're really interested in things that can help improve the quality of their life, mm-hmm. health, wealth, and self, staying independent. So unlike the younger children who still have to learn new things about AI every day, the older adult can move at their own pace, can use it to help understand hobbies or to make connections. Again, a good assistant.
Mm-hmm. Laura, we got a call from Ramesh. He is 80. His wife is 75 and has mobility issues. He wants to know if he qualifies for Meals on Wheels. I know we talked about this just before the break, but that's something. Sure. Talk about who determines that eligibility.
Yes. So if you live in Ohio, that would be the Council on Aging of Southwest Ohio. And so people will call us and ask if they're eligible, and we refer them to call the Council on Aging. So they are the ones who determine the eligibility. If you live in Kentucky, that would be the Northern Kentucky Area Development District.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ramesh. I hope that helps. We have a caller on the line. Hi, Haley. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
Yeah. I feel that AI is bad for the human spirit. I think to struggle and to learn is integral to not just like our soul, but also our mental health. And I think we've seen that even in young people where they start using AI and they kind of go off the deep end. I mean, we've seen a couple people harm themselves or harm others because they were using AI and the AI kind of led them to that decision. So I'm worried about how it affects an older person who might be prone to Alzheimer's or dementia with just how inaccurate some of the answers can be. I mean, not just it. I just think, I don't know. And I think AI is kind of coming in as this like band-aid solution for a systemic issue. And that issue is that a lot of people are too overworked to spend time with their grandparents or their parents who might be aging. I mean, a lot of parents don't even have time to spend with their kids. Mm-hmm. And I think really what we need to be focusing on is getting more time with people face-to-face. I don't think that a computer can replace that.
Yeah. Thank you, Haley. I really appreciate that. I think you raise a really, really good point. Eric, what do you think about that?
So I think he's spot on. And it is timely because, you know, today we looked in the New York Times has a story about how aging in place, the woman needed to have the assistance of an AI robot that was specifically designed to help her with communication issues. And also Pope Leo just published the encyclical, and people have been going through it. Some people say he didn't speak strongly enough. Some people say he spoke too strongly. essentially, the caller is right in that there are lots of concerns. From a technology standpoint, though, I don't think it's going away. The tube's not going back in the toothpaste. And making sure that there are guardrails, there are limits. And our group works with the older adults, but I'm definitely sympathetic to young professionals and younger adults and younger people. How you balance that is something that we need to pay close attention to.
Yeah. And I would say that your comment, Haley's comment, really highlights the importance of unbiased research that I mentioned before, that it's, you know, looking at research, making sure that, who is supporting it. But research that looks at AI and its use for older adults, and not just a, we want them all to use it and it's this great, amazing tool, but really looking at what are the positive and negative effects of its use on all age groups, on all types of people, not just older adults. And so I think that there is, I think that we are, in a sense, like putting the cart before the horse, or we have this like very strong forward momentum, and we're not taking a second to step back. I mean, some people are, but I think we could be doing more of that.
Yeah. Thank you, Haley. I really appreciate that call. That was very, very, very insightful. Well, I want to talk about this too. It feels like AI is being used in so many ways to victimize and trick older adults. I mean, there are online scams, there are deep fakes. Doesn't that make people cautious about turning to AI for help sometimes? Eric?
Yeah, I think it is something to be careful of, because just as the technology has gotten better to help us in our daily lives, it helps bad actors as well. And I think if you have a scam, if you want to run something by an AI, that's great. Maybe you use it to find other resources and places where you can vet and validate something that you've heard. And I've seen people who've said, well, I don't understand this Medicare form, or I don't understand this disbursement or reimbursement. You can carefully use it to help you figure out what's right. But to your point, Lucy, it's something that takes considerable attention.
Yeah.
And I would say this, because I also help teach cybersecurity and protection things to older adults, is I'm concerned that people are using the technology to create more complex scams. I'm not concerned necessarily that somebody's using that an older adult is using the technology, and when they ask a question, they're going to get a scam, but it does make us more aware of these things. And just like we want older adults to learn artificial intelligence, there is a growing community of individuals who are helping us to understand scams and, the bad actors and all of those things. So these things go hand in hand, because unfortunately, it doesn't look like either are going away. Mm-hmm. So we just need to really be mindful and protect ourselves.
Mm. Laura, yeah. Did you want to weigh in?
Well, I think what I have heard a lot is, like, number one most important thing, if someone is calling or is asking for your personal information, or if it even sounds like a family member that is asking questions out of the norm, is to stop and slow down. Mm-hmm. I think scammers often want you to feel pressured. They want to place time pressure on you and get you to give your information to them. And so stopping, slowing down, and thinking about, okay, who is this that's calling me? Why do they actually want this information? And then a lot of times, if you'll say, oh, I'm going to get my daughter or my son on the phone to help me with this, a lot of times they'll hang up, because they know that then that person will be able to catch on very quickly. So it's recommended to also consult with a family member separately, and also having a family password as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Laura, getting back to AI, do you think there's any risk that using these AI devices, any of this technology that we've been talking about, can give families maybe a false sense of security? I mean, to Haley's point, AI technology cannot replace mm-hmm. that in-person contact and that contact and with humans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It does not. And this gets, I think that Haley made a great point about that we cannot replace the human connection. I mean, and we don't want to. As humans, we all have that, you know, that kind of feeling in our and deep inside when we hear about social robots and go, I'm not sure, so sure about that. I'm not sure that I would want to be interacting with a social robot when I'm older and that be my only social connection, right? And so keeping people connected to others, whether that's through the phone, whether that's a check-in with them once a week, or more than that, ideally, is really, really important. And that's where we know where the research lies, that that's what will prevent illnesses down the road as well. Yeah.
And I would also like to say very quickly that, you know, AI is a really big word. It's like communication. It's like, you know, it's just a really big word. There are various segments of artificial intelligence that may be more safe or less safe or things of that nature. When we're talking about generative AI, which is where you go in and it's more of an advanced Google search, that is different than, you know, synthetic individuals or gaming or creating voices or, you know, all these other kinds of things. So as we continue these conversations, I hope that we will continue to educate our listeners about the different aspects of artificial intelligence so that we can speak to the pros and cons of each one of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eric, you know, we've talked about this, but technology can't do everything for us. How do you and adult children of older adults decide whether AI can help you age at home or whether you need something more, whether you need an in-home caregiver or consider a move to assisted living, right, leaving your home?
I think being able to do some research about that is important, right? And there are different websites, different things that are together. And it is kind of to what Crystal's point, it's the kind of thing where you'd want to ask a deep research question. There is no simple answer. There is no one answer that fits all. You have to be able to kind of negotiate that a little bit with the way that you would ask, with the prompts and the way that you look at that information. You know, but also remember that there's been research that says chatbot use actually could increase loneliness or isolation. AI is just part of a larger picture where we thought smartphones were going to be great, and for some people it connects us, for other people it has issues. We thought social media would be like that. AI falls in the same sort of category. There are lots of benefits, lots of risks, just trying to be able to use it in evaluating what's the right decision for the individual person. Yeah. And then reach out to the agencies, the social service agency in your county, the Council on Aging, the Meals on Wheels. Talk to your friends and neighbors and other people in your group.
Yeah, and Laura, I would assume talking to your medical professionals is really important in making those decisions too.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there's so much more we could be talking about, but we are running out of time. I've been talking with Meals on Wheels for Southwest Ohio and Northern Kentucky Director of Development, Laura Allen, Cincinnati AI Catalyst, AI for Older Adults Team Leader, Eric Freyer, and the voice of your customer president, Crystal Kendrick. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Technical director is Carlos Lopez-Cornu. And associate producer is Harper Carlton. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for the weekly news review. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.